We live in a world of wonderful Dharma supports, and this very same world is often also one with entanglements that create all sorts of difficulties and suffering for us in our life. One of these that I want to pick up today is habits. I'm using the word habits in a very loose and broad sense, talking about it physically, mentally, physiologically, psychologically, emotionally, and in other ways as well. Habits are fundamentally necessary and what makes us possible to live in the world. All beings live in the midst of habits. Even our very walking, when we're a child, we start to learn to walk. And as we develop the ability to stand upright and to wobble and walk, our body and mind learns this functioning of walking. So we know how to take steps. And when you look at a young child, they put great effort into learning how and taking steps, first steps, a few steps, wobbling, uncertainties. And now most of us just walk without even having to think about how we are walking, without even, unfortunately, being present in our walking. And yet our walking is a habit of knowing how to move our body, move our legs, coordinate our legs, our muscles, our hips, our sense of space, direction. So that's the sense of habits of all sorts that we have, that I shouldn't say that we have, that arise and enable us to live and function. And of course, there are habits that make it possible for all sorts of wonderful activities in our life, whether it's driving a car, playing music, playing sports. I know some of you are golfers. Hitting a golf ball, using a golf club, swinging a golf club, all involves habits of many aspects of our body, mind, physiologically, psychologically, emotionally, and so forth. Playing music, the ability to conceive of music, to pay attention to musical notes, to coordinate whatever parts of your body, hands, mouth, breath, are working all together. So that's the sense of habits. All of our functioning, and yet there are also aspects of habits that are, I'll say, dysfunctional. Dysfunctional in the sense that they create suffering and harming. They create all sorts of troubles. If while you're walking, you all of a sudden start paying attention to thoughts that are coming up and things that you see that you like and you don't like and you're looking in that direction, you'll bump into things and then you'll, why did I do that? That's all my fault. That's another habit of do I blame my functioning, my bumping into things. We bump into all sorts of things as a result of habits which aren't skillful, aren't appropriate, which we cling to and entangle in and make trouble for ourselves. Something happens, we hear sounds, and all of a sudden we go, that's so loud. And our habit of reacting with anger, sadness, frustration, beliefs about what should or shouldn't, those are also habits. Those are physiological habits. Those are psychological habits, emotional habits, beliefs. There's a whole sense of sitting upright. There's proprioceptive senses, which are habits of our body-mind functioning that make it possible to do simple things, even simple things like sitting, breathing. We know that when there are certain injuries to nerves, brain, body, that people can no longer breathe for themselves. The body functioning that makes possible breathing breaks down, and we need iron lungs, artificial respirators, etc. So there are many forms of habits that are very useful, and there are many forms of habits that lead us to suffer and to cause harm. We see someone driving fast, cutting us off. We get angry, and all of a sudden we're in the throes of the habit of anger, reacting. And unfortunately, sometimes we even speed up. I'm going to get him. I'm going to cut him off. Well, she isn't going to do that to me. And this happens with words. It happens with actions. It happens when we have ideas about what's going on, often incorrectly and often correctly, often blaming, sometimes because of psychological states, getting into all sorts of paranoid anger. So, in a way, an important, vital part of practice is to notice the habitual behaviors that arise in our life, to notice and be present with the habitual reactions. Certainly when you're zazening, sitting upright in the zendo or at home, you get to notice what habitually happens when certain thoughts or feelings come. Whether you entangle with them, whether you bodily react to them, whether they blind you to the present moment of your life, or whether you can notice when that habit is there, not that you could get rid of, there isn't a point of getting rid of the habit, but of noticing it arise is the ability to let it go, to note, and to be this experiencing, which is physical, mental, all the ways of being human, which allows the habits, if I say it in a certain way, sometimes allows them to weaken, become less of something that gets a hold of us and takes us over. And in a way, even more importantly, where we can not only notice where we're caught and holding to it, but we can also cease to cling to it. We can cease to be run by it. The Buddha says in describing a practitioner, this is in the Pali Canon, he says that one is in practicing, let's say in zazening, whether formal sitting or in walking in life, he says, there's mindfulness of body and they remain independent, not clinging to anything in the world. This is how a practitioner remains focused on the body in and of itself internally. This is how a practitioner remains focused on the body in and of itself externally, and as well, either or, in other words, either or externally, internally, or both internally and externally. This is simple description of Zazen. Being present in mindful of this body-mind functioning and yet independent of the clinging habits, not clinging to, or noticing how we are clinging to. And in noticing, that's the opportunity to, in a sense, for a moment, to release. We're not in charge of the habit that arises, nor of the clinging that arises. Yet we are in charge of and have the ability to notice this. To notice it is the ability to experience. Experiencing is the ability to release. And as the Buddha says, and as we discover, habits can be so-called inside or so-called outside. Habits can be two things, physical, mental, emotional, etc., that arise inside of us, that arise outside of us. In the description when I talked about road rage a few minutes ago, it's essentially we have habitual reaction to something occurring out there on the road. Doesn't matter if it's on the road or in a newspaper to what someone says or doesn't say, does or doesn't do, in any forms of the myriad forms of media that we all now live in and are connected to, bombarded by, caught up in. All of this is the fundamental practice of working with the habits, which is what caught is. Caught is a habit that catches us. Caught is the self-centered happiness of the habit. Otherwise, it's just events occurring and not occurring. Caught is the holding to the habit, the blindness to the habit, the blindness to the fact that the habit has taken over our functioning, and instead of responding, we are reactive based on the habits. So an important part of our practice is this being present, this noticing, and this noticing is to give us the opportunity to be the experiencing. The experiencing is, as the Buddha says, remaining independent, not clinging to anything in the world, of the world, and being the experiencing of the body inside and of the body so-called outside, internally, externally, the Buddha talks about. That's the body of the highway that we're driving on and all the beings that drive with us. All the beings that we encounter, focused on the experiencing of ourself and whoever we're with, whatever beings, human, non-human, trees, mountains, prairie, wind, sky, full moon, dark sky, bright sun, driving rain, all the various aspects of living this universe, this mindfulness, if I use that kind of word, of this body inside, outside. Thank you all for your ongoing practice.